Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Episode 108 of A Wild Podcast has appeared, your new favorite Pokemon podcast. I am your returning host, Jim Viscardi, joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. I almost said Christian Peters and Megan Hoffer, and that would have just been really awkward. This is a special Memorial Day episode, and if you watch live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, you could have watched me do two failed intros to the show. One was an audio issue. The other one was really just because I could not keep it together because of other issues. But anyway, that's just more incentive for you to tune in live to the show, because we get a little crazy sometimes. Anyway, this is your new favorite Pokemon podcast. I said that already, but this is really a show where three friends get to talk about their favorite franchise that they love so much. And so this week we have some Pokemon Go news. We have some regular Pokemon console news, some anime news. And as always, at the very end, a Pokemon fact of the week.
So first, big news on the Christian Hoffer front. I found a store that carries Pokemon cards.
No way.
Yeah, no.
Up-to-date cards?
Yeah. Not only do they still have Pokemon cards.
Are you still buying Sun and Moon cards? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, how old are these cards, Christian?
No, so there was a game store that apparently opened up in my city in Columbus they've been open since November. And like one of my friends lives right by it. And there's another game that we play called Marvel Crisis Protocol. It's a miniatures game. And so we went over there because apparently they have a Crisis Protocol group. So I walk in there and they have like elite trainer boxes for battle styles, like actual, like, you know, like individual packets. I'm like, excuse me, sir. I see you still have Pokemon cards. Do you do pre-orders for Chilling Rain? He's like, as a matter of fact, I do, and not all of my stock has been bought up. I'm like, I would like just give me a brick. Like, I am so thrilled. That's right. I'm back in the Pokemon card game.
Like one of these bricks?
Yeah. You know what, Jim? Once upon a time, the Pokemon company would be sending me those cards before you're like, ooh, we have a studio. And yes, now look at all the good. Look at all the good that studio is doing you now.
That studio did great by me because then I could get the cards. So I have been severely lacking Pokemon cards, y'all. Jim. Again, to
well, here is the thing for those
episode,
for those well, for those watching out, and for up. And for you too. I mean, you know, our studio is well underway, and so much so that in fact I have seen pictures of the new studio. It is absolutely under construction, and hopefully we will be back in there recording this show in the fall. So we have an end date. There is an end date coming soon. So I'm very excited. As much as I have loved to do this from my little home dungeon, it'll be fun to get back into the studio, because then it'll just allow us to do more things. You know, obviously one of the things that we're going to talk about is obviously we have the Gibble Community Gibble Community Day coming up, where you know I am figuring out what time I'm going to come on and stream, and so be on the lookout at Pokemon Pod CB, the podcast Twitter account, for times on when I'm going to do that. You know, as much as I love to do it from my bootleg home setup, it'll be really nice to do it, you know, with a bit more, you know, bells and whistles, really. So with that, let's just jump into the news because we got some time to catch up on. We have the slate of June events coming up. Christian.
Yeah. So they've been kind of rolling this out over the course of several days. So first and foremost, the season of Discovery begins tomorrow. If you remember how they've rolled out these seasons have been kind of weird because they made it sound like it was a pretty big deal. And it's just not been. But basically, it means that we're getting different Pokemon that will be in the background. A couple of big changes. Only one Mega Evolved Pokemon will be appearing at a time during Mega Raid. So no more of this, like three Pokemon, different types of Pokemon showing up. We're going to get one Mega Evolved Pokemon at a time. A bunch of different Pokemon will be appearing in the wild. I'm not going to dive into all the season discovery stuff because, frankly, there's just a lot of it and it's not all that important. But for the June events, we do know what at least the first June event will be, and it's all about my boy Slowpoke. We are getting Galarian Slowpoke. We are getting Galarian Slowbro. We are getting Mega Slowbro. And it will be a event focusing on lazy and active Pokemon, and it will come with a collection challenge. The Solstice event will be returning, and they seem to tease a Bidoof event for the end of the month. Now, I don't know if it's...
You know what happened? They had the April Fool's Day thing. They saw all of the excitement that people got for Bidoof. Then we had our own little Bidoof excitement here on the show, and they said, we need a Bidoof event in the game.
Here's the thing. Like, I think that people are going to be ticked off if we don't get a Bidoof event.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
for sure.
The need is there. The desire is there. The demand is there. And if Pokemon doesn't fulfill it, it's just going to be a madhouse, basically.
Yeah. Give us the Bidoof.
The masses want Bidoof. Please deliver on Bidoof.
Christian, are you wearing that Hawaiian slow shirt because of the news?
Yes,
today?
Was that
coordinated?
It was coordinated. One, it's Memorial Day, so I wanted a vacation shirt to wear today. And two, I figured, we're talking about Slowpoke. I'm going to wear my Slowpoke shirt.
That is a good looking Hawaiian t-shirt.
It's one of my favorites. Technically I have two Pokemon Hawaiian shirts because my original Stitch shirt is also a Hawaiian shirt cut. And it's funny, I wore that last Sunday, like a week ago Sunday. And we were hanging out with the neighbors afterwards and all the neighborhood kids were coming up to me. I were like, wait a second, is that a Bulbasaur shirt? I'm like, yes, it is. And then all the adults were like, I had no idea that was actually a Pokemon shirt. I'm like, that's the point. That's the point.
Now you understand why I have these shirts.
I would like Hawaiian shirts better if they were not short sleeves. I have a thing against short sleeve button up shirts.
Well, I'm pretty sure you can get long sleeved Hawaiian shirts. They're called old man shirts.
Oh, wow. See, I'd say I prefer my button downs long sleeves so I can roll them up. I think I like that look better than the flowy look. Flowy, roomy, comfortable look of a Hawaiian
shirt. That roomy, comfortable look is definitely what's in right now. I gotta say, I do enjoy it. I will say, Box Lunch, if you know of that retailer in the if you're listening, they have a ton of geeky kind of Hawaiian short sleeve button up shirts. Some of them are more obvious than others, so you probably couldn't get away with it, and like at a professional setting. But a lot of them, are like surprisingly understated. I have a couple of Marvel and Pokemon ones that I got for my fiance that are pretty darn professional. And he has worn them to work before with no incidents. So if you are in the market and trying to not buy things secondhand because people will price them crazy high, Box Lunch has a bunch out right now. So that's my plug. If you're trying to, imitate Hoffer style.
The Pokemon Center, too, Christian mentioned, it has a really nice Gengar Hawaiian shirt that I'm actually very, I'm very close to buying. I saw it and, so that may be one I pick up, and maybe you'll see on an upcoming show. We'll see. Depends on whether I actually pull the trigger on it.
I'm now like taking a look at these shirts from Box Lunch, and I like, okay, they've got like some Studio Ghibli. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, yeah, I like this. These are nice.
Yeah, they're nice quality. I bought a ton of them for my fiance when he's like, oh, I gotta go back to the office, and I was like,
I don't know if they're still available. I may have to double check this, but like, Christian, didn't you get a Magic? You got the Magikarp original Stitch shirt, or am I?
No, I got the Bulbasaur one.
You got the Bulbasaur one. Yeah. I think the original Stitch design for Magikarp was also, I think, very, very cool, and one I think I may also grab. But anyway, that's this week in Pokemon style. Let's move on to more.
Yeah, if you couldn't get the Levi's Pokemon collection, Lunch in the Pokemon Center.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh man, I'm sorry. This is now a you know, Box
Let's
Lunch.
Shop with Hoffer video. Shop with Christian Hoffer.
This is Memorial Day. Like I'm just looking at some of these. Like, not only do they have the Box Lunch actually has a Pokemon Island Life one, but they also have this awesome Naruto shirt that I really want. Oh,
if you identify as a weeb, I have led you to the promised land of fashion. That's all I will say.
There we go.
My God. Well, I'm out for the rest of the day. I'll just be listening. You guys are going to
hold on. All right. Before you go, let's give everyone the details on Pokemon Go Fest. Some good news for Pokemon Go Fest this year that I think a lot of people are going to be really, really happy with.
It's cheap.
It's super cheap.
Cheap. It's like A-plus affordable.
It's only $5 this time. Last year, there were some valid criticisms. The event was $14.99 last year. They're lowering the ticket price to $5. The only downside is that the event hours are going to be a lot shorter. That's running from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. local time. I want to say it was a 12-hour event last year, both days. This year's theme is it's going to be a music festival, which kind of makes sense because, you know,
Katy Perry stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Coachella, Pikachu.
And it feels like as the world returns, you know, music festivals are coming back. So we're getting a music festival. The big thing remember Jesus, stop it. if you remember back in February, you got to choose between your red version and your green version.
Yeah.
This time you'll be choosing between Popstar Pikachu and Rockstar Pikachu. The cosplay Pikachu.
It's
impossible
for me to pick, y'all.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough decision. I love them both equally.
Yeah, I'm thinking me and my friends are just going to go halvesies. And
I was going to say, are these just not going to be tradable? I mean, they have to be tradable, right?
I mean, they probably will be, but who knows? But you know, we're getting a lot of we're getting two regional exclusives. We're getting Chadot, and we are getting Sauk and Throw. So Sauk and Throw are exclusive to one part of the world, or you know, to one hemisphere or the other. So basically, you know, functionally, we're getting two regional exclusives that will be available to everybody, no matter where you live, unless you live in, you know, I think what South America's where Chadot spawns at. So, you know, sorry, you're out of luck.
Zenpai in the chat, obviously a longtime follower of the show, Aang Calder, just knowing my love for Pokemon and hats and Pokemon Go. I just love them so much. So,
I mean, they look
got
so
me.
Cool.
They got my $5.
The pop Pikachu just reminds me of like a K-pop artist, which I'm immediately all about. Gives me some real Blackpink vibes. And then Rockstar Pikachu really just taps into my inner My Chemical Romance fan that never went away. It's always been there. I'm just really conflicted. So if y'all want to convince me to go one way or another in the chat, please help me because I legitimately cannot decide which.
Here's a valid question I'll throw your way. Last year, there were at least at the start of the Pokemon Go Fest, there were a lot of connectivity issues. And I wonder if now with a lower price point, you would assume more people are going to get involved. Will they be able to handle it?
This is the immortal question when it comes to Pokemon Go. Can they handle how many people are interested in their game? The answer is I don't know. I do not know. You know, every time I think they've got it in the bag, they find a way to surprise me. I do think last year people needed something to do. And, you know, the Pokemon Go Fest came at a really good time. That was at the height of, you know, when all the restrictions were in place and all that stuff. And, you know, I think it drew a lot of interest just because, like, you know, people were starting to burn out on Animal Crossing. They wanted to go outside. It was something different. It was something to do. I know a lot of people who got back in the game just by doing that. You know, chances are there will be connectivity issues. My hope is that because the window is a little bit shorter, it's only 8 hours as opposed to 12 this time, the connectivity issues won't be as bad because there won't be so many people on it sometimes. Although they're, you know, it's kind of blunted because, you know, they have servers based on region. So it's not like, you know, like, oh, well, the Europeans are playing, so, you know, we're all out of luck or something like that, you know. We'll just find out. It's always a surprise when they do these big events.
Yeah. I will say, as someone who, you know, played almost through the entire thing at various points throughout the day last year, it did get a lot better. As the day went around. And so, so at least there, you know, there's that. It'll just be, you know, as the various countries get online, where I think you will see, you know, where, and that's your, you know, US Nate Scout says, you know, they'll just shut things down again. You know, they shut down the PvP and the friends list. So like they may just have to turn, some stuff off. So, I do want to take a second to shout out some of the new people catching the show live. One of them is obviously US Nate Scout, and the other one, Xenomorph. So welcome. Thank you for watching live. We absolutely appreciate it. Right. With that, should we take a quick break and then come back? Or I guess we can talk about Pokemon Home. This is Pokemon Home updates real quick, and then we'll go take a break. So Christian, why don't you tell us what's going on with Pokemon Home?
So Pokemon Home is getting updated here in June, getting a couple of new features. They're adding a catch calendar, which means basically you'll be able to see when your Pokemon get you caught your Pokemon. So you want to make sure you have like the right Venusaur because you've caught one in every single game, but you want the one that you've had the longest. You know, you will have the ability to find that a little bit more easily. They are adding a kind of like new, like, you know, model viewer. So you can actually do a 360 view of your Pokemon. And to kind of celebrate this, they are going to be doing a giveaway where you'll be getting a Bulbasaur and a Squirtle with the Gigantamax factor. So when those are fully evolved, they become a Gigantamax Blastoise and a Gigantamax Venusaur. Which this should hypothetically, because if you bought the Isle of Armor DLC, you got one of those two, you'll be able to get both of them now. Or if you didn't buy the DLC, you have access to that for free. And that will be given out to anyone who has Pokemon Home when they release this update, whenever that is.
Nice.
A plus. All right.
Well, there you go. There's your Pokemon Home update for the week. Although we don't really get updates. I feel like we had an update. Well, we didn't have an update last week, but whatever. Anyway, okay. We got to pay for the show. We'll be back in 60 seconds to talk more about the new Pokemon game releases coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just saw what the outfits looked like for Popstar Pikachu and Rockstar Pikachu looking at the album art for this week's show. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing. They're absolutely incredible.
Do you understand my struggle now?
I understand the struggle.
It's because you never went and played Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, have you, Jim?
No, I have not.
Well, so there we go. Yep. And this is why you're only a guest host, Jim.
That's
the joke for 2021, apparently.
All right, let's talk about some Pokemon game releases because we got some dates. Mm-hmm. And I guess some people got a little bit upset.
Give me a second. I'm pulling up the exact dates because I don't want to mess this up since we're on the record. Earlier this week, after there's all the speculation, are we going to get a Pokemon Direct? And the answer is probably not, because they just went and announced the dates for the upcoming video games. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Pokemon Shining Pearl will launch on November 19th, 2021, while Pokemon Legends Arceus will launch on January 28th, 2022. So these games are, you know, the next two sets of Pokemon games. Everyone is pretty excited for them. Mm-hmm. But of course, there was controversy because people are weird. The controversy seems to have been these games are coming out too closely together.
Yeah, I mean,
like, what? When I saw that criticism, that was my actual reaction. Like, just kind of dumbfounded. I know, Hopper, you will explain more about the, kind of industry perspective on it. But, I mean, as a fan, I'm more than happy to not wait a super long time, but
yeah,
for me, the only thing that's interesting is that Arceus is a post-holiday release. That to me seems like the bigger deal of a game. And I would imagine that there are potentially, production reasons for that release date, but for Arceus to not get the day before Black Friday that Black Friday into the holiday time frame for what is ostensibly a game changing kind of game for the franchise, as opposed to like the remakes getting that slot. Like, if the dates were switched, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. But I can see, why some people would be thinking that. I don't think there's any reason to get mad about it or have them too close. I mean, look, you've already played Diamond and Pearl. Like, you're not getting any real surprises out of that game, right? Like, yes, there will probably be some gameplay changes and things like that there, but like, you're not going to need that much time between that and Arceus. And like, wait, I'm sorry, you can't play two games at once. Like,
well,
I'll just say the thing in conjunction with what Jim said is I would wonder, and I've been thinking this, if whether the Pokemon company is kind of putting more eggs in the basket of knowing that Diamond and Pearl are known factors within the franchise already. They know that, Diamond and Pearl have done really well. It has a dedicated fan base. They know that the desire for remakes have been prevalent within the fandom for a really long time in comparison to Arceus, which is a very unknown quantity. It might be kind of game changing, but I mean, if it's a flop and that is their holiday flop, I mean, it's a safer bet maybe to potentially go with, Diamond and Pearl, which is a known quantity to the company. So that's what, I'm considering as maybe the explanation. Either way, I'm fine with it. It's not that long of a wait. I always play Pokemon. I'm still playing Sword and Shield. I'm still playing, Heart Gold. I still pick up these old games. I mean, I never really stop playing them, so I can handle a couple games at once. So that multitasking will be A+ next year.
So there's a couple of a couple of things talking about the the release dates. You're very likely right, Megan. There was probably some COVID related production issues. If I had to take a guess, I'm guessing these games got delayed by a couple of months. You know, I do think, and I think this has been really interesting because, you know, as the person who's been writing about these games, you know, I keep an eye on the traffic. And there's a lot more excitement for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl than there is Pokemon Legends. And that's really surprising to me because I thought that what everyone wanted was an open world Pokemon game.
But I think that's also a symptomatic of the fact that we really just haven't seen much from Legends.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like we got a trailer, we have a basic understanding of what the mechanics and stuff are going to be. But I think until you actually see it in action, as opposed to select clips put together for a trailer or whatnot, like that excitement is just not necessarily going to be there. I mean, you know, as a peek behind the curtain on what makes websites run and things like that, right? Like we've seen this before when, you know, big movies come out. There may not necessarily be a lot of interest until the actual movie comes out, right? Like the example I point to all the time is Doctor Strange. We were writing about Doctor Strange a whole lot before that movie came out, and it did nothing for us. And then the movie finally came out and it was doing gangbusters for us. Yeah. And so I think there is a bit of that happening here where, I mean, look, I want them to take all the time that they need to finish this Legends game, right? Because if it is at like, I have openly said, this is not my style of game. I am not a Zelda Breath of the Wild fan and all that stuff. But I'm looking forward to this one because I think, you know, that kind of game with a coat of paint of a franchise that I like and with some mechanics, whatever, may be enough to bring me in there. So I'm excited for it. I want them to take the time for it. I just figured, you know, given what a Breath of the Wild has done sales wise, that just may be one that they would want to put, you know,
so
in a prime money making window.
That kind of ties into what people are complaining about, you know, talking about how it's an unfinished looking game. First and foremost, like, you know, you know, the complaints that, you know, when they released the early thing, that's clearly not the final, you know, that's an in development, you know, game model that's likely a year old. So this is what the complaint has been, is they are releasing Pokemon Legends too soon. So let's kind of like break this down. First and foremost, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, it's not even made by Game Freak. You know, yeah. Game Freak is barely involved with it. That is why we are getting a very faithful recreation. They keep on like really stressing. It's like, don't expect anything new from this game. And that's the reason why they handed that project off to another studio to literally remake. Give it a fresh coat of paint, send it on its way, give the fans what they want. Pokemon Legend. So Game Freak itself has two different development groups. So there's always, you know, one group that, you know, so they kind of have a group one and a group two, you know, and group, you know, one of those groups has not had anything to do for quite a while because, you know, they didn't work on Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. They didn't work on a new Pokemon game. They're usually the ones, you know, that one group usually is the one that's working on, you know, stuff like, you know, the third of the remakes or the upgraded games, while the other group is working on the next generation. So this group is very likely the one that worked on Sword and Shield, and Sword and Shield has been done for 3 years. You know, let's be realistic. You know, it's been done for 3 years. So they've had a lot of time to work on it. Now, I understand the criticisms about Game Freak as a, you know, game designs, you know, they're, you know, I hear the criticisms. I think that people kind of forget that this is literally a game that is made for young children, you know, and, you know, that kind of flavors it. But, you know, I think that, you know, they're not going to put out an unfinished game. There's too much at stake here for them to put out an unfinished game. And a lot of the criticisms about like Sword and Shield being an unfinished game, you know, I think that is really, you know, let's just, I'm not allowed to use the language that, you know, I would respond to that. I'm not allowed to say that because this is a family friendly podcast.
It's a bunch of malarkey. Let's go with that one.
No, nice thing. Here's the other thing that kind of ties into this, and this is getting chatted a little bit about in the chat. Pokemon Legends coming out in January 2022 sets up the Pokemon franchise for Gen 9 to come out.
Yeah,
that's the other thing you have to be aware. We have only had 1 2-year gap between main series Pokemon games since in like over a decade. And that was between Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire and Pokemon Sun and Moon. You know, so we've, you know, and while Sword and Shield's a little bit unusual because they didn't come out with a, you know, enhanced edition. They opted for the DLC instead. And so, you know, that kind of like makes it fuzzy. But even if you count, like, let's say that you say Crown Tundra was the last time that we've gotten a Pokemon game. And, you know, that was the last time we got a Pokemon game. With that, that will still be like, you know, a full, like, you know, year, you know, between that and, you know, Pokemon Shining, you know, the Diamond and Pearl remakes. And then we've got Legends. And then if we're saying that we're going to wait all the way until 2023, that will be like the second longest gap between Pokemon games that we've ever gotten in the franchise, period. Mm-hmm. Ever. Which just seems like that's not really something that the Pokemon Company is going to do, because the Pokemon Company has been printing money lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a story Christian's going to do up later today. Like, Pokemon, like, it is not a far-fetched statement to say that Pokemon is, as a franchise, is probably the biggest it's ever been right now. Like, it is just making
bringing in that money.
It is so bringing much. In money, and awareness is at an all time high. That it's just, I mean, it's awesome. Look, it's the reason why we do this show, right? Like, it's they're very. We talk about nostalgia and things like that, like, you know, all the time. And while that is a big driver for a lot of this stuff, right, for, you know, some trading card stuff and you know, and things like that, there's still a new audience coming to this franchise every single day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, that's the thing. This is a generational franchise. This is, you know, more equivalent to stuff like Marvel and DC than, you know, a typical game franchise. I think that literally only Nintendo really has like the lock on, you know, these generational video game franchises. Sonic is the other one. There are not too many video game franchises that have been around for 25 years and have quite the universal appeal. They're all Nintendo franchises, and then there's like Sonic, and I can't really think of another video game franchise besides.
I mean, like Tomb Raider. Fans. Tomb Raider's been around for a while.
Well, Tomb Raider, but Tomb Raider's not geared towards kids.
It's not geared towards kids, right?
I'm coming through with Sims, because let me tell you what.
Sims would be a good one. Sims is a little bit limited because it's, you know, you have to have a, you know, a PC that's capable of running it.
Or console now, man. I started playing on console. Oh yeah, it's huge on console. The first time I ever played Sims was on console.
Welcome to
the Sims podcast tangent. This is the host, Megan Peters.
Look, Dimlos RL Bard in the chat says Rayman. Look, I love Rayman like the next guy, but that one, I'm sorry, brother, is not a generational.
Some of it is, you know, it. We're going way off tangent.
True. It's funny, like, because you know, there's also a side chat going on in the chat right now about Eevee, which we can get to in a second. But like, we've also we've talked about it a little bit before. But go ahead, Christian, and then we'll move on.
You know, it's just that I think that a lot of these studios, you know, a lot of these game studios who, you know, are responsible for like cultivating this, and you know, for one thing, Sonic and Microsoft, you know. They go and they know their audiences. Their audiences is older gamers. You know, Nintendo, you know, their audience is younger. You know, that's why they make the Mario games, which are for everybody. And they make really good games like Super Mario Odyssey. You know, one of the best games I've played in the last like 6 or 7 years. And like, I'm now going through my PlayStation backlog and I'm still saying that. You know, Breath of the Wild, you know, a little bit aims at the older gamer, but, you know, by older gamer, I mean like 11. Ratchet and Clank is close. Like, someone just brought up Ratchet and Clank. That's probably the closest that Sony has. It's not really quite at that you know, level of like, you know, awareness of like Mario, Sonic, Pokemon, Zelda, stuff like that.
What about Crash Bandicoot?
When's the last time we had a Crash?
We just got Crash 4.
Okay, well there was
a very big gap where we didn't have Crash, and Crash was relegated to like mobile games and things like that. But Crash is another one that Master Chief for Xbox is a good one, Calder. That's an older one. Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say, some of them, like, because for a while, like Crash and Rayman both came in that, like, oh, we need the next Mario Sonic. Mm-hmm. When like PlayStation was young. It's not that some of these things haven't been around, it's just that, you know, they just don't have that like generational, because like we get new Mario games every year, we get new Pokemon games every year, you know, even Sonic the franchise gets new stuff every year. Zelda a little bit less, but Zelda is, you know, even that we get stuff every 18 months or so from the Zelda franchise, you know. Crash Bandicoot, you know, and I, like I said, I have nothing against Crash. Like, I played those games. I totally forgot there was a Crash 4. You know, they just haven't come out with the, you know, it requires a lot of support. You have to turn these things into like the, you know, mammoth franchises that they are. And it requires a lot of resources and stuff like that. And, you know, if it's not super popular to begin with, you just don't want to like put in, you know, yearly Crash Bandicoot games. Spyro is the other one that for a while was up there, but you know, we haven't gotten any Spyro stuff lately.
I'll just say this as a final kind of parting thing. The thing that I think frustrates me about seeing some things, obviously it's not everyone, but kind of the minority that's being so vocal about the complaints about the timing of Arceus, is that one, Pokemon is not thinking, if they're not playing chess, they're playing like 4D chess. They're thinking years down the line. They have a business model. They have a business plan. It is far further planned out than the average consumer is going to think about. You know, they know what they're doing. And the other consideration is when, you know, fans say the Pokemon franchise doesn't, you know, deserve the success because it doesn't understand what it's doing. And that is, I mean, we're talking about record-breaking profits, you know. the sheer amount of publicity. I mean, everything that the Pokemon Company has done, whether it is, you know, convenient on a consumer scale to the way that some fans might like it, when going to the general population of consumers for younger fans, Pokemon is nailing what it's doing. It's having some trouble with the Pokemon cards right now, but that's literally out of its hands with supply issues because of the pandemic. So when Pokemon says we're going to put these two games out within, you know, a couple months of each other, I'm going to say, okay, you know what you're doing. I trust that you're going to put out a completed game. You haven't, you know, slapped on that before. I'm not going to think you're going to do it again. It's just, I think, kind of the knee-jerk reaction for some, you know, consumers to create drama where there is no drama. And that just becomes obviously a vocal minority. So I would say that I have no issues with the timing of this, especially if it inevitably leads to Gen 9 coming out at the end of next year.
Well, on the topic of nostalgia tinged binges, we get a bunch of old friends coming to the anime. Megan,
Pokemon anime went off. The Pokemon anime in Japan, we knew it was coming. It just went off. It said, you want nostalgia? Just let me smack you right in the face with it. So in Pokemon Journeys in Japan, the newest episode has gone live. Ash is not only reunited with Professor Oak, he goes to see his all his old Pokemon. We see Charizard, we see Totodile, we see Bulbasaur, we see Snorlax, we see everyone. I mean, almost everyone that you want to see is there. And Ash is trying to find Infernape, and he turns out that Infernape just straight up ran away because he felt like he wasn't being challenged in the care of Professor Oak. So he's out just like living his best solo survivor Bear Grylls life, fighting trainers solo and trying to get stronger so he can press Ash when they reunite. So that reunion is, one, adorable, but also within that, Pokemon said, you want some more nostalgia? like, I think you want just like a little bit more, right? And so they decided that they were going to bring up Tracy Sketchum, which BTW, I love him. I know that's a divisive opinion within the anime community, but Tracy was mentioned and Professor Oak was like, yeah, Tracy and I, like, we tried to find Infernape and we just really couldn't get any lock onto him. And so, like, the only way Tracy is shown is like in a thought bubble. They don't even like give him the common decency of like even showing him in the background or something. But yeah, so we not only got to see like tons of Ash's old Pokemon, the reunion was super, super sweet, super emotional. There was like a whole like running montage of them being together. But we also got a little update on Tracy. If you've been wondering where that guy went, you know, it's been years. So
that's I was about to say, the update is he still exists. He has not died off camera.
Yeah, Tracy is alive. He's still chilling with Professor Oak. Other than that, I have no idea what he's been doing. I have no idea what he wants to do. It was just a really nice kind of in-universe canon Easter egg, little reference just to kind of tie the whole thing together. So I was happy with it. Obviously, I know within the anime fandom, Tracy is he's a little bit controversial depending whether you liked him or not. I was fine with him as a young wee lass. I thought he was really cute. So now I'm just like, when I saw him, I was like, oh, hey, I remember you. Oh, you're alive. Excellent. So, yeah, now as the anime moves forward, Gary also made his reappearance. He really doesn't like Go, so I feel like Christian and Gary are on the same like wavelength for
what a crazy world we live in, that Gary and Christian are on the same page.
I mean, listen, Gary has had a lot of development over the years. You know, he's had probably the most character growth of any character in the anime. True. So of course he hates Go. You know, that's just a natural extension of being a fully evolved character like I am. You know, if you have a personality, you dislike Go. That's just all there is to it.
Wow,
that's a spicy take. But yeah, so Gary's here. He kind of sets up the Project Mew arc that's coming forward. And the anime also teased that Ash is going to have a dig into Max Gengar. So that's fun.
Oh, yes. Well, so U.S. Nate Scott, have you ever seen Gary and Christian in the same room? No, you have not.
No, you have not.
Same person confirmed.
Honestly, I'm expecting before the year end, I challenge Hoffer to do a Gary cosplay.
Look, with the amount of research that Christian has done into the biological life of Pokemon, they may be the same person.
Hoffer is arguably vastly more educated than Gary is about Pokemon.
And that's the perfect transition to this week's Pokemon Fact of the Week.
This is true.
So we got another weird one. After a couple of weeks of slightly disappointing Pokemon Facts of the Week, we are to the Totodile line. And we have a very disturbing factoid about Totodile's evolved form, Croconaw. Croconaw, Totodile, and Feraligatr, they're all known for being big bite Pokemon. They have their big jaws and they bite. But when Croconaw bites you, you're in for a world of pain. That's because Croconaw has barbed teeth. They specifically say they are teeth that kind of bend backwards like fish hooks. So when he bites into you, they ain't coming out.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. Like that is a Pokemon that is made for pain. That is that's horrific. That's a Pokemon that's out to kill. Like, holy, like when I read that, I didn't even get to like the Feraligatr facts because I was just like, oh man, that is awful. Like, Croconaw is out to like murder things. Like, yeah, angry crocodile Pokemon.
Let's back up for a second, because alligators and crocodiles are terrifying animals to begin with, right? Like, they are capital P predators. And but I think, and again too, right, like we've talked about this before, I think this whole evolutionary line is one of the most underrated lines of the entire franchise. I think you know, like this, like I said, and when we talked about like this generation kind of in general, right, like we talked about it with Cyndaquil, and to an extent, you know, Chikorita, because we know how much Christian loves his Meganium. But it's one of those things that I wish we got more cool things, or maybe cool things came out when like these games were coming out for this line. But I think, it's not impossible, because there is stuff that you can get, you know, with like merchandise and stuff for this. But like, I wish there was more, because okay. they're just really cool.
I think we missed also an important fact. Look at this Pokedex entry. It says that once it bites down, it will not let go and lets its teeth fall out. It will go, it will lose its teeth to be stuck in you. It will go gum first in order to cause you damage. And then its teeth grow back within 48 hours.
Yeah.
My favorite, you know, the kind of like following horrifying. Up on that, you think that's horrifying. Like they, like for alligators, Pokemon, it's Pokedex entries. It's like, yeah, for alligator will kill you.
Yeah.
It's basically. Just like it's like, not it, only
so, it's so yeah, much so that true. Its gold entry is like, it shakes its head so savagely, it tears its victim up. Like,
it's like, Lord. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, for alligator will literally murder you.
I mean, talk about like a death roll. Oh, like, my yeah. God.
For alligator, I will say, like, you know, is my favorite of like I love all three Johto starters. My youngest, I just bought the Johto starter.
Pokemon plushes. How did that go?
I haven't like formally done it yet. He's kind of like starting to get used to them right now. Because, you know, chances are when I put these three things like this, my 1 year old's feral because of the pandemic. So like I'm expecting like him to like, oh, I see that there are like stuffed animals. Hang on. Let me get like a knife and stab them, you know, and then I shall feast upon their innards or something like that. That's the sort of stuff that no, seriously, if you meet this kid, like, you know, none of my friends believe me. And then like, we were at a cookout last night, and not only did he make like multiple runs going after the grill, he also like came away with like a corkscrew that like none of us knew how he got. He's just like, you know, it's like suddenly like crawled underneath like this like outdoor table. And it's like, hey guys, look at this. I have a corkscrew. Everyone's like, how do you even know that was there? We didn't know it was there. I was like, that's my kid.
Kid is choosing violence.
Yes. Yes.
He's time after time. Your kid is choosing to be for alligator.
Yeah,
well, that is just standing at this point.
God help us when he gets more than six teeth.
Yeah, yikes! Woof.
Oh man, but anyways, yeah, for alligator, he freaking rocks. That's basically what I have to say about that. Just a love great him. Pokemon.
All right. Well, with that, that wraps up another episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. Thank you, everyone, for joining live. We go live every Monday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central if you live in the middle of the country somewhere, 5 p.m. across the pond. And that's it. If you have to do any other conversions, just type it into Google. I'm sorry. Otherwise, if you want to support the show, the best way to do so is to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I know many of you listen to this show on many other platforms, whether it is Spotify or Stitcher or wherever, and God bless you for it. Love you. You know, we are not saying go find iTunes and go do it, but if you can, it helps the show out quite a bit.
We won't stop you from doing
that's right. But also too, feel free to head on over to Twitter. You can find all of us at Pokemon Pod CB. You can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And you can find me at Seehofer CBus.
Keep an eye out on social. I'll be posting the times that I'll go live to do the community day for this week. So if you want to get in on some of the fun, I'll make sure to post all of our gamer code thing. What the hell are they called? Friend codes?
Friend codes. There we go.
And we'll do and so that way, you know, if there's raids or anything that you guys want to do, we're more than happy to get in on some of that stuff. So until next time, folks, may the shiny luck be ever in your favor. We'll catch you next time.